Shalom, this is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, hosting today's Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. Today, I will start a series called Rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle. This is predominantly on linen. However, sometimes we may mention essential oils or shemen. This is a foundational teaching and excerpts from a book that I've been researching and wanting to write, and Father willing, will get into print one day. I may have to do it in stages because there's just so much information and so much more information coming forth. We will be taking a break from the Shimon series and the health testimony on different ways that Father's taught me how to use essential oils and herbs for healing. And the reason for this is because there's a stirring in the hearts of Father's people and the remnant of Israel about wearing linen. And the more we understand in the science and the understanding of the Hebrew, especially the ancient and paleo Hebrew, the more a lot of us are ready and able to accept some things in scripture that we couldn't accept or didn't want to accept in the past because we associated it with New Age or witchcraft. Now that we have all the physics and the information and the knowledge going to and fro, what we are finding in physics and quantum physics is that Yahweh's word is true. And we have to be able to set aside our Western mindset and return to just a simple word that he's given us, but being able to apply that and reaching into the things that he has for us, that he wants to restore to us, that will be essential for us as we press in and look up for our redemption draweth nigh and for the restoration of the kingdom. So let us begin with rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle, the Beit or House of Or or Light, the House of Light. Let me read a scripture to you from Revelation 21:23. And I saw no dwelling place in it, for Yahuwah El Shaddai is its dwelling place and the Lamb. And the city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it, for the esteem or the glory of Elohim lightened it, and the Lamb is its lamp. Now, the context of this in Revelations 21 is after the discussion of the bride being prepared and adorned for her husband coming down. And it talks about the stones and the gates. And this is a whole nother teaching, but I would suggest to you that when you understand that you're a living stone, then you will realize that this city that is given to us and portrayed here, and the stones and the colors and the gates, etc., are us, his living stones, his people, his stones that he wants to indwell in. And when you understand that each of us would be associated with a particular tribe, you know, whether you were naturally born or brought in into the covenant, it doesn't matter that once you're in covenant, whether you're native born, physical, spiritual, when you came into the covenant, once you accept the covenant and you spiritually receive that covenant, your physical situation changes regardless of where you came from. And so you then become the Living Stones Tabernacle. And this really is a reason why we so much need each other. Because if each one of us who are a stone is doing our job and we're cut and polished and shining and reflecting the light that he's given us, then we will be working together to build his house of the living stones. I believe that was his original intention, and this is his intention in the end when the kingdom and the new Jerusalem or the bride comes down. I personally believe it's after the witnesses die and they are resurrected on the third day, like Yeshua, and Yeshua returns with the bride as she comes down, and it is the resurrection. And as the Living Stones Tabernacle and those beautiful stones come down, it's a representation of us, the Living Stones, the bride coming. But again, that is a whole nother teaching, but keep that in mind. And the point that I wanted to make here with this verse in Revelations is that when we are walking in Torah, when we are walking in his goodness, when we are walking clean and set apart, the light of Yahuwah and the power and the might will shine in and through us. And his light is reflected and contained in Yeshua, or Yahushua, or as many of you know him as Jesus, as the light of the world. In other words, he's the personification, the manifestation of Yahuwah and that light, and he will be our king. So the main foundation that a father's given me before we get into linen and understanding one of the reasons spiritually why we do linen and essential oils is that we have to understand that we are literally a vessel, a stone for him to dwell within, and together corporately we build up his house that he wants to dwell in. Let's take a look at Nehemiah 6:16. And it came to be, when all of our enemies heard, and all the nations or the goy around us saw, that they fell greatly in their own eyes, and they knew, or yada, that this work was done by our Elohim. Now again, this is about the rebuilding of the temple in the book of Nehemiah or Nehemiah. The nations fell greatly in their own eyes, or you could say they were in great despair and fell to probably their hands and their feet, not just their eyes, and their own proudness and loftiness and their arrogance came down because they knew that the work and the rebuilding of the house of his temple was a work of Yahweh Elohim. And we will see in the future at the great Exodus, when he brings us back together, that he did this. When the two houses, when the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom and the whomsoevers come together and are brought back into a cod and brought back into unity, his power and his presence and his light will be shown through his people unto all the nations in the world. This is why the enemy who pretends to be light and gives us artificial light is going to war after us. I would like to share with you a vision that Father gave me last spring or summer. I think it was late spring, early summer. And it was a vision of grief, but there's hope in it. I was standing there and I saw Yahweh taking the stones away from the temple. And he was standing inside and he was picking up each stone and throwing them away, dispersing them. He tore his house down. Remember, those stones represent each of his people. His people were unclean. The stones that built his house were unclean. They had no use. He could no longer dwell with them. He could no longer continue to bless and provide for them because they had become so defiled and he had been so long-suffering and patient with them. The stones were scattered and no light shone or was reflected in them because of their defilement. When we are regathered in the great Exodus, there will be a rebuilding, like in the book of Maccabees and the story of Hanukkah, and a rededication of his living stones, and there will be a Sukkot, a wedding supper. Now, my revelation about linen was back in the winter of 2007 when I was studying the properties of linen. And there were things that Father had been putting in my heart over the years before that. But when I started seeing the properties and thinking about things he'd put in my heart over the years, I started to do a Bible study, a scriptural study from Genesis to Revelation on everything that had to do. And this is usually the way I study. I will take a topic or a word and I will go from Genesis to Revelations and read every single verse, whether there's tens or hundreds. I work myself through them because I want to see everything that Father has to say about it. And then I look also at all the words that are related to those scriptures. And that's one of the reasons why I absolutely love Esau, because I used to do that bit by bit with the Strong's Concordance, which of course anyone who has studied enough realizes after a while with the Strong's Concordance, that's not even good enough because it doesn't show you the prepositions and some of the grammar on the Hebrew. So while I was studying this, I had always wondered in the back of my mind about the person who showed up in the book of Matthew who didn't have the wedding garment on. And while I was studying these scriptures, all of a sudden it hit me like a great light, like a bolt of lightning, that, oh my goodness, the wedding garment was made out of linen. That person that showed up did not have the wedding garment on, and that it was literal. It was not just spiritual, but literal. Let me go back on course here to the vision. Now, if I could take a rock, I like to do this in demonstrations when I speak. If I took a rock, and here in Montana, we have these wonderful egg rocks where they look ugly and nasty on the outside. But when you turn them over, if they've been broken open, or sometimes you'll even have them, they're like an egg, and you open them up, they have these beautiful amethysts or crystals in them. And we are just like that. You know, many times we look at others and they don't look shiny. They don't sparkle. They don't shine. Or let's say they do sparkle and they do shine, but they have jagged edges and we don't fit up right next to them, and they kind of aggravate us and they kind of rub us a little wrong. Well, we're those living stones, and Father's not through picking us up where we look like an ugly rock And he's in the process of purifying us, putting us under pressure and heat to create those beautiful crystals that will reflect his light. And then he can cut them and he can polish them, which of course could be parallel to the trials of life. And so this is why we need to be ever so gentle towards our brothers and sisters, even when we don't like what they say or we don't agree with them. We have to be able to recognize and bear in the spirit who is the living stone tabernacle. Do we bear witness whether we like them or not, whether they rub us wrong or not? Are they a stone that Father has picked out? And you know, sometimes those stones are so ugly, they don't even look close to being picked up. Maybe they haven't been picked up yet. Maybe Father's just still waiting for them. So we need to remember that we need to love others, even our enemies, because we do not know who will be and who will not be, or who possibly are, but we can't see the part of the living stone's tabernacle that he wants to dwell in. And if each one of us will reflect the light, the gifts, the talents that he has given us and polished in us, and will only focus on that and focus on what part of the living stone's tabernacle we are, then we need to be busy about that position that he's put us in, the wall or the foundation or the roof. And that's all we need to worry about, is what we are called to do, not what our brothers and sisters are called to do, and then to judge them about how they're doing it. Father is more than able to take care of them and position them and make them fit so that eventually we all fit together to make his tabernacle. We also need to grieve that when we lose one of those stones and they're not in the building or the walls, we have now lost a place that is not protected, building the fortress. And we need to realize that they're part of the entire house, and the whole light and the whole glory of Yahuwah will not shine until each one of us are in our places doing what we're called to do, letting his light shine in us so that the full glory, the full manifestation of who he is and what he wants to accomplish on the face of the earth through his people, that's what we're looking for. And this is why we need to love and bear with one another. The living stones today are Shema'in, or they're listening, they're obeying, they're doing Teshuvah, they're returning to the Torah, the instructions of righteous living, so that they might live more abundantly with life. Because to choose his Torah, to choose his instructions, is to choose life. He is beginning to pick them up and reassemble them to build them back into his house. He's getting ready to return and build up that house that he's going to indwell. So now is the time to restore the lost treasures or the secrets of Israel, so that these stones can be ready and prepared to be assembled and rebuilt into a rightly jointed, fitted house where he will dwell. He will smell and see the living stones through the essential oils and the aroma and the prayers. The bride will be dressed with her wedding garment of white linen that reflects his light, and he will go into the Holy of Holies, the set apart place with her, and there they will be echad. So what might the essential oils and the linen have to do with the bride? Let's find out right after this short message. Spring has sprung. Birds chirping, blooming flowers, fresh breezes, and spring cleaning, along with fresh white linen sheets, are in the air. Linen has its own life-giving frequencies, which reflect light. Yahweh has shown us in his word and in the Mishkan in the wilderness the pattern for veiling or clothing the set-apart place, the Holy of Holies. As his set-apart people, his living stones, Father wants to restore to us the lost treasures of Israel, including his Moedim, his pure language, Shemen, essential oils, and Sheish, linen. Since we spend at least one-third of our life in restorative sleep, a good place to start with having linen in your life is with white, pure linen sheets. Consider linen sheets as part of the restoration process of transitioning back to wearing linen for your health, available at Remnant Remedy. Also available are linen headband coverings, hand-woven linen scarves, linen garments, linen thread, and linen yarn for your own personal sewing projects. For more information about linen to cover your living stone, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio Store and click on Remnant Remedy. Let's look at a verse. In Psalm 78:63, it says, "The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage." Some translations say praise. That word marriage or praise is hallel, Hebrew Strong's number 1984. It can mean diamond, glistening, shining, looking, or pointing towards something. Praise. Do we not give praise and glory and shining to Yahweh? Well, he gives it back to the bride with his light. to bring attention to his beautiful bride. It also means to cause a shining by praising or giving thanks to another. So this is all in context of this word of marriage or praise or hallel. It is said that the worth of a man is seen by the countenance of his wife or bride. When a man loves his wife in such a way that she shines, she glistens like the anointing of oil and the brightness and the reflection of white linen, then you know that the groom is very great, and thus we have the greatest groom of all time. So let's ask, what's your name? Yisrael. He will rule as El or Elohim. Who's your daddy? He is Elohim, all tall, the Aleph to the Tav. He is the El Shaddai, the many-breasted one, who has and is more than sufficient to provide for all of your needs. We call him Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yehovah. He is the way, the truth, the life, and the door. He is the Aleph and the Tav. He is the light, the Or of the world. In Genesis 1:3. And we are even finding today through electrogenetics and quantum physics that DNA's coil design has a vibrating action and electrogenetic function and are powered by waves and particles of energized sound and light. Father has even created DNA much like the relationship that Israel has with him, or like a man has with a woman when they are to be wedded or bonded together, or like the two houses as they're to walk in a cod. The spiral structures of DNA are simply like a Tesla coil that enhances the energy reception and transmission. Just as a man is the transmitter of giving life to the woman, she receives that life and she carries that life within her, and then she gives birth and gives life back. And this is what Father's doing with his people. He's given his light, his life, to his bride. She holds it with inside. She emanates his brightness, his love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness of his Torah, and it gives life back to the world and to the nations. It is believed that DNA in and of itself is bioacoustics, living sound or light. And as we can see from Genesis with the vibration of his word and the light, we can see in a science called electrogenetics, which is a subscience of genetics, where the creator actually initiated power in the vibration of the frequency of the things that he's made and created. Creation of DNA with its coil design has a vibrating action, or we call electrogenetic function, and it's powered by waves and particles of energized sound or light. In the beginning was the word, the Aleph to the Tav. And what is word but sound? And what is sound but electromagnetics? Simply, it is the language of mathematics and physics created by the great I Am. It is important to realize that Yahuwah used the light that he created in Genesis to create his creation, including his people, his family. We are electrically charged. We're like a battery, and we carry that life force, that energy, and that spirit that Yahuwah has given us. With Kirlian photography and other instruments of modern day, we can see the color, the frequencies, the wavelengths in a human body. The reality is our bodies put off energy. Parts of our body that are ill will not put out the same colors or aura that other parts of the body that are healthy will. A dead person, when they're done with their body and their spirit leaves, they have no energy. They have no life. It's amazing to see that instruments can record and measure electrical emanations from various tissues in the body. But there's no electrical recordings if the instruments are applied to a person who has passed away. In order to understand this, we need to recognize that our body has a positive and a negative nature, just as in electricity. In order for tissues to have life and action, there must be polarity. The positive pole works against the negative pole to produce a force which travels through the body. I have discussed in the past the number one way that the body communicates with its cells is through the central nervous system, which is an electrical impulse system. This is why you can apply essential oils or shemen to the bottom of your feet or to your hands or to your ears or on top of an organ, and it can cross the blood-brain barrier or the blood barrier and heal and bring healing to those organs. Even from the bottom of your feet, you can get pain relief in the back of your scapula or shoulder blade. It travels over these wires or nerves in the body with vibrations. This electricity can travel through the body via wires wires, just like in electricity, through the nervous system as vibrations, thought, or spirit. There is a whole neuroscience out there that now shows what happens with what we think and what we see, and not just what we touch or feel, but what our thoughts produce physically, chemically, in our bodies. And the reason for this is because words that you speak or think, because it starts in the mind or the heart first, are electromagnetic life forces that come from inside the brain. So in other words, when you speak, you have already had the thought. So your thought and your words are electromagnetic life forces that come from inside the brain, or basically energy, light, electricity. And just like the DNA, we inherit from our parents a pattern from our father and from our mother. There is a dominant side to each of us. For most, it's the right side, but for some, it could be the left. Scientists believe that the right side of the body is the electropositive side, and the left side of the body is electronegative, whether it be the mother's or the father's strain that is dominant. When the health of the left side is broken down, the electronegative influences in the life are needed to build it up. There are even foods that are believed to help in this connection with the positive and negative forces. For instance, we know that in connection with foods, starches are negative and proteins are positive. If the right side is broken down, which is usually the side affected in most people, it is because that side has the liver that handles the toxic conditions of the body. The positive things in nature are needed. Such people need a high altitude, which is positive, proteins, which are positive, citrus fruits, which combine well with proteins. They should have very few starches, it is believed, since they are negative. But it is believed that all can have a non-starchy vegetable diet, which is neutral. These are things to consider when we look at the positive and negative features of creation that Father's given us. It's in our bodies. It's in everything in and around us. This is important, I believe, when we come into the connection and look at the properties of linen and why Father would put linen around his people that are made with the life and light force, just like that linen surrounded the Holy of Holies that had the life and the light force in the glory of Jehovah. Does it not make sense that if Yahushua, Yahweh, Jehovah, is the light of the world, and we are created in his image, that we too have light, electricity, energy? Just think about the word image. When you take a picture of something which captures the light and the darkness of what we see or what the eye of the camera sees, when you produce a picture, you're taking a picture of the image. Think of a negative. If you can remember those days when we had negatives instead of just digital technology with digital pictures. But we are the image of Jehovah, which is the light of the world. If Yahuwah built a house, who is the light of the world, if he built a house and raised a family, would you not be the children of light from the house of light? What if his house was you? Jeremiah 33:20. Thus said Yahuwah, if you could break the Aleph and the Tav of my covenant with the day or yom or light or or, and my covenant with the night, Lael, dark, Hosek, so that there be not day or night in their season or time. Now in this passage in Jeremiah 33:20, I asked myself, when did he make a covenant with light and day? And I thought you only made covenants with people. Jeremiah 33:21 says, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Now in this scripture in Jeremiah 33:20, it says, if you could break my covenant. This word break or parah means to open the head, to tread, to scatter, to open the head. The covenant, berith, is the tent, the family, the grain, the stalk, the head or the family of heads. To break open the head of my grain or fruit or the heads of my family of houses could be another way to interpret that through the ancient Hebrew. How, why, and then did he make a covenant with the heads, the families, the houses of day, light, and night or darkness? Of course, it was in the beginning in Genesis 1, Bereshit. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, what's not translated in the English here is the Aleph and the Tav. So what it says in the Hebrew, in the order that it's written, is Bereshit, which is in the beginning, Bara, which is to create or to select or to choose or to dispatch or to make, Elohim, Aletav, Shemaim, the heavens, the fragrance of the waters, Aleph Tav again, Eretz. So again, we have Bereshit in the beginning, Bara made, Elohim, Aleph Tav, Shamayim, the heavens, Aleph Tav, Eretz, the land. There is a wonderful teaching out there that even puts us in the perspective that in the beginning created Yah Elohim, Aleph Tav. In other words, that is also when he created his language, his word, from the Aleph to the Tav. And that Aleph and that Tav is what was used to create all things. So when you get to the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the word, the Devar, the Aleph to the Tav. And in it and of it and through it, all things were created, visible and invisible, on earth and below and above. So his word is true. And that frequency and that energy that we see in Genesis 1:2, where his spirit is hovering or vibrating over the waters, that frequency, that energy, that life was put into all of his creation. And science is proving this now. But let us remember that it was always true, and Father's allowing us to see a revelation, or he's revealing to us what he created in the beginning through the science and the mathematics. And he is the great mathematician. He is the great scientist. Our time is up. May your garments always be white, and may your head lack no shimon. Shalom.